king is coming. The verse says, praise God, he's coming for me. That's good. Turning your Bibles to Job, book of Job, Job chapter 1. We'll start in verse 1 of chapter 1. What a book. What a book, the book of Job. A lot to learn from the book of Job. Again, these things were written for our learning and for our admonition. So there's a story here, true story. And it's how God worked in this man's life and also his friend's life. And so we'll see that and profit from it today. We will begin reading. Well, I think before I do that, let me read a verse. Keep your place in Job chapter 1. But I want to read a couple verses in James chapter 5. Verse 10, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. And so we look back at the prophets and they are an example to us. And so God wants us to follow that example. They are a godly example. But the next verse says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So again, we're reminded about this story, and we are to use these truths that we'll read about as an example for us. Amen. And that will be a blessing to us because the Lord will help us there. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 1. Job is a good man. This is a really, really good man. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. Not perfect, he was complete. Not sinless, but perfect means complete. And upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He avoided it like the plague. He did what was right. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, 3 bitcoins, and a new Mercedes, and a very great household. I mean, he had a lot of wealth, a lot of wealth. So that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and curse God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. This cursing God in their heart, this disapproval of God, this criticism of God, was very important thing to pray about for Job. Job didn't want that to be in his people or his children. And so that meant a lot to him, and we'll see that as we go through the chapter. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. We have almost that same verse in the book of Peter, where the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That's a reference to this here. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? This is God's own description of Job. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Does he fear you for no reason? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, excuse me, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The reason Job is such a good man in praising you and doing all these things is because of the way you've blessed him physically, materially, with family and everything. And Satan says, if you take that away, he'll curse you. Now remember, it's important, Job said, to pray that his children would not curse God. So this is important to him. And it says, in verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans, the enemies, fell upon them, and they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." That is bad news. That is a bad day. But the next verse says, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Boy, that's a double whammy. I mean, sometimes you get bad news and then there's bad news up on top of bad news. But it doesn't stop there. While he was yet speaking, verse 17, "There came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." That would be three strikes, you're out. But it doesn't end there. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Everything was gone. Everything was gone. Then, after all of this, Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Sometimes I surprise myself at my attitude or my response to much minor things, much more minor things. I don't know if you can identify with that. It goes on and says, "And then Job said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." I'm speaking today on the phrase, "in all this." And we all have an "in all this." We all have circumstances in life. The devil is always walking about seeking whom he may devour, right? And our response is so critical. It's so important. I think the book of Job, it's a wonderful book that we can look at and see how God helped this man and how God worked through all of these circumstances like he wants to do for us. I don't want to stop reading. We'll just read a little more. Chapter 2. We're going to read through chapter 40. I'm kidding. Verse 1, "Again there was a day." Here's another day. Boy, no day could be as bad as that day. "When the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?" I'm sure Job was wanting, "God, quit bragging on me. Just leave me alone. And that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." We'll see some of that as we get into the message. "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain integrity? curse God and die. There's that curse God again. Sometimes that can come from a family member. Sometimes it comes from the devil. Sometimes it comes from your own thoughts. But it's a terrible thing to even think about. But he said unto her, now this is the second time, okay, it gets really bad, and here's all the consequences, here's all the circumstances, and Job said, I'm not going to sin against God. And here he says to his wife, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, there's the phrase again, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. There's a few more verses, and this talks about his friends, and we'll stop after this chapter. But it says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. That was why they came. They really meant that. We'll see later on in the book of Job that Job called them miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. Physicians of no value. They came, though, to do something, but they saw it differently than what Job saw. And I'm way ahead of where I should be, so I'm just going to finish reading the chapter. In verse 12, and when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. You can imagine what he looked like. And they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. There was nothing to say, just to be there and to support him. But let's ask God to bless his word today. Father, help us. May we learn. May you reveal to us what our in all this is. And may you guide us. May you help us. May you strengthen us. Lord, I don't know all the needs here. I know some, but there are deep, deep hurts, heartaches, trials, fears, all the things we've been talking about. And Lord, the devil's after all of us. And I pray you would help us. Please help us and bless your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great book. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In all this did not Job sin with his lips. There are degrees of trouble, and I don't know how you can beat this. I don't know how you could get any worse than this. I mean, the Lord on the cross, you think about the sufferings that Paul went through, but this is horrific. This is really severe trouble in his life. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 20, the Bible says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Why hast thou made me thus? Why are you allowing this in my life? And there are purposes in this world that God accomplishes. He doesn't create the evil, but he accomplishes through our response to the evil. And it's a deep, deep truth, and we'll touch on that some today. Job, not so much in all his heartaches and his trials, but in all that he did not understand. How could this be happening to me? I mean, and you go through the scripture and you can see that. And he didn't have an answer for that. Oh, that I knew where I might find God. We'll read those verses in a minute. But this is happening to him. And the thing is, why is this happening? Because if I know why it's happening, I could do something to stop it from happening. Amen? And that's our mindset. That's what we do when we pray, right? We want God to answer our prayers so we don't have the problem anymore. And sometimes we don't pray to get through the trial. We pray that the trial will disappear. But our prayer needs to be strength in the trial. And this is an amazing book all about that. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect, complete, mature, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He avoided evil. He abstained from evil. Satan, in chapter 1 and verse 11, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. But he didn't. Touch all that he hath. Job's wife, chapter 2 and verse 9, then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God, condemn God, criticize God, oppose God, and die. God is to be praised. In 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, chapter 5, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Nice verse, amen? Until in everything comes to pass in our life or in all this, then it's very difficult to praise God. But we need to praise God all the time because the Bible tells us that more than in those texts. I mean, it's all through the scripture. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some people can take a lot of pain. They can take a lot of trial. But they can't take not knowing why. They can't take the not knowing why. In Genesis chapter 18, this is a story. God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham knows about that because Abraham is a friend of God, and God did not withhold anything from Abraham. So he told him about it aforetime. And Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Lot is in Sodom. And so Abraham begins this prayer to God. And he says, God, if there's 50 righteous, will you spare the city? If there's 45? I mean, it's a long prayer. But the one verse I want to point out is verse 25, where it says, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Abraham's talking to God. And that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. I mean, that's what Abraham believed about God. And God's will was done there. There was judgment. But God said, if there's 10 righteous, I'll spare the city. And so if Lot could have just got his family, amen, it would have been all right. But he wasn't able to do that. But the point is, Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You have another story in Mark chapter 7. I won't take the time to read it. But God heals a deaf and dumb man. And it's a wonderful, wonderful miracle. Let me just read one verse here. Did I say Mark? Mark chapter 7. Yeah. And were beyond measure astonished when he was healed, saying, he hath done all things well. He hath done all things well. And we believe that in a church setting. Amen. I had a fellow in our church in Sturgis, and he put on his answering machine, praise the Lord. So whenever anybody called him, he said, praise the Lord. But sometimes we don't praise the Lord, do we? Excuse me while I use some Kleenex here. Amen. And if you want to buy the tape, never mind. I'm just going to move right on here. This is our vision of God. Our vision of God is he does all things well. Right? Our vision of God is it's impossible for him to lie. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Isn't that our vision of God? Sometimes until in all this. Then we don't understand it. Then the tendency is for our spirit to be ruined, and it's almost like we're criticizing God. That's where Job got to towards the end of the book of Job. He was arguing with God. Such a strong man with such a strong statement in such terrible circumstances, so strong, but it just got worn away. Why? And we'll look at the reason for that. What if we don't understand what God has allowed in our lives? How do we respond to that? That's what eventually frustrated Job. Job chapter 13 and verse 3. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. Chapter 23 and verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Job 40 and verse 2, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He was debating with God. And this great view of God, and I'm here today, and you're here today. It's Sunday, spring's around the corner, Easter's around the corner. Isn't God good? And, you know, the birds were singing, amen, and this was good, and that's good, and I got some grandchildren, and everything, because God is so good. Amen? Isn't God good? The car started today. Man, God's good. You know, I got breakfast in bed. Amen. It was part of the toast I dropped in bed last night. So you get breakfast in bed. And I mean, God is good, and you can think of all these reasons to praise God, but what about when the trial comes and you don't understand why the trial is there? Then what do our thoughts go to? This is where the devil takes advantage. Curse God and die. Sometimes he uses human instruments to say the same thing. Biggest part of the book of Job concerns itself with the debate and the contention between Job and his three well-meaning friends. Well-meaning friends. You ever say this? I don't understand why you don't understand. I don't understand why you don't get this. Here we're talking about something. You see something one way, I see it another. I don't understand why you don't get it. And you're thinking, well, I don't understand why you don't get it. You know? What do you do in a case like that? How about this? I don't understand why God doesn't allow you to understand. Because God showed me, amen, so I understand, and why won't God do that for you? And sometimes that other person is thinking the same thing about you. What do you do? Barnabas and Paul, they're getting ready to go. Let's take John Mark. The contention was so sharp between them that they parted their ways. Only by pride cometh contention. That's two great human beings. Barnabas, son of consolation, did a great work helping John Mark get back in the ministry. Paul, you know what he did, and he takes Silas and does all these great things. Unmovable object and an irresistible force. Only by pride come to the contention. It happens. Well, this is what we ought to do. No, this is what we ought to do. Well, I don't understand why they don't understand. God, please show them. Matthew Henry said, Job reproves his friends from their uncharitable censures of him and their unkind treatment. You'll find that as you read through the book of Job. It must be owned that Job, in all this, spoke much that was reasonable, but with a mixture of passion and human infirmity. And in this contest, as indeed in most contests, there was fault on both sides. Fault on both sides. And boy, can the devil stir the pot when there's fault on both sides. And you know what? There's usually always faults on both sides. Well, not with me. I'm always right. Nobody's always right. Amen? And have you ever been wrong and then found out later you were wrong? Probably not, right? Probably. And verse 10 of Job chapter 42, the last chapter, this is really great. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. What in the world does that mean? Taken captive by the devil at his will. Taken captive. Captive to what? Captive to a bad attitude, captive to wrong thinking, captive to foolishness. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had had before. That's interesting, because Job was very blessed before, but God doubled the blessing on him. It says in that chapter, Job, oh, what is it, Richard? What's the verse I'm looking for? Help me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Job is saying that to God. Therefore, because I see this, I repent in dust and ashes. I repent. This is Job. I'm seeing God now. I understand it now. I repent. And I'm going to pray for my friends. Were his friends right? No, they were really wrong. They were more wrong than Job was. But he said, God said, pray for your friends. And when Job prayed for his friends, he turned his captivity and blessed them twice as much. That's not how we do it sometimes. Amen? What we want to do is prove we're right, but Job isn't interested in proving that he's right because he was wrong. Well, I wasn't as wrong as they were. That's not in the equation. Amen? Well, you're 75% wrong, and I'm only 25% wrong. Oh, God, help them, you know. And may God help us all. I think that's important. What is it? What is God allowing that you don't understand? What is God allowing that others don't understand around you. James 5:11, we count them happy which endure. This is talking about Job. What is your in all this? Job was strong in his loss of possessions, in his loss of his health, in his loss of his children. He was strong. We've just read about that. But he becomes weak, and this is the point. He becomes weak in the loss of his reputation. Sometimes being a martyr, sacrificing, whoa, boy, look at that. Isn't that amazing? But when you're misunderstood, that's a whole different thing to go through. And Job was weak in the loss of his reputation. Boy, he fought hard for that. Acts 7:25, this is about Moses. He supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Moses, he's the deliverer. Look, well, all that God did in his life. Put him there, and he's a powerful man in Egypt, but he comes to deliver the children of Israel, and they criticized him, and they were going to tell on him about the killing of that Egyptian, and he thought they would understand, but they understood not. So what did he do? He took off, right? He went to the backside of the desert for a while. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. But what if somebody doesn't see it the way you see it? Then there's something to fall back on. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Job 9:10, which doeth great things past finding out, God does, yea, and wonders without number. You can take story after story after story in the Bible where there's God working in somebody's life and nobody understands it. Joseph, his brothers were so jealous, they wanted to kill him, they sold him in slavery, but God kept everybody alive because of that. And he says at the end, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Nobody understood that until that time, except Joseph. So what is he going through? He's in Potiphar's house, he's in prison. All of the things he suffered. But God revealed to Joseph, I'm going to do something in your life. Remember, he gave him those dreams. And God brought all that to pass to save, as it is, much people alive as it is this day. That's what God used Joseph for. But nobody else understood it. Amen? A lot of things are like that. The story of Paul and Silas. They've thrown into prison, and I know it's a familiar story, but they're singing at midnight because they're in all this was, okay, God, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. Maybe some of the prisoners will hear our songs rather than hear our griping. Wouldn't that be great? If the world could hear our song instead of our griping. And so they're singing, they're praising God at midnight. And I think that's one of the reasons when the earthquake came and all the jail doors were open, nobody left. They were preaching. They were praising God because that's important. But Job and Joseph and Paul and Silas don't help you because that's your story. That's their story, and you have a story. You're not helped or tested in all that. You're helped and tested in all this. Whatever's going on in your life that nobody else understands, only you and God are working on. Maybe somebody's helping you with it. That's good. But you don't always agree with everybody that's trying to help you with something. Amen? You ever talk to somebody about something and you just, oh, they're not getting it. God, help them to get it. And they're praying, oh, God, man, they're not getting it. Sometimes it's just you and God. There's safety in the multitude of counselors. Multitude. Why multitude? Because you get different ways to see it, and then God shows you. Amen? Otherwise, we're all just, you know, little robots, and we'll all just march around. Oh, this is the way to do everything. You don't want to violate the scripture, but Job didn't want to violate the scripture. And his three friends used the scripture against him. Powerful. Powerful. What is your in all this? In all this family trouble, everybody has family trouble. I mean, it can be severe, it can be minor. It can be watching grandkids. You know, it could be a disagreement with siblings. Why can't you guys get along? It can be the husband and wife. I think the husband's always right. I'm kidding. It's a long ride home, amen? Sometimes our family trouble, why don't they understand? Why don't they? It's good to take a Bible, amen, and go to the scripture, because God is a counselor. In all this financial trouble, there's some people that don't have financial trouble. There are people that have great financial trouble. Why is this happening to me? If you don't have financial trouble, what would your spirit be like if you did have financial trouble? So we need to empathize or sympathize with others that have that. In all this friendship trouble, boy, you ever have a friend and then he's no longer your friend? That can happen. In all this, I put it because there's a fourth F to this, in all this fellowship trouble. Church happens to be Fellowship Bible Church, amen. Sometimes there's trouble in a church. Man, I wish they would see this, you know. And it all goes around, it goes around, and it's all to ruin our spirits. Gino, sin not, nor charge God foolishly. Amen? How about this one? In all this, did not Ed sin with his lips? You know, you take your circumstances, we become a Bible character. Here's the principles. Here's what's happening in our life. Nothing like this. But here's the difficulty. Here's the trial. Here's the temptation. Here's the horrible experience. In all this, put your name. I didn't sin with my lips. In all this, I didn't charge God foolishly. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, that's impossible. That's why James is there. Look at my servant Job. Look at his patience. And I helped him. I helped him get through it. Oswald Sanders says, eyes that look are common, eyes that see are rare. There's a lot we can see with the physical eye, and we judge by circumstances. That's what was going on with Job's three friends. But they didn't see what God was really doing there. And if we see that, like Job ultimately saw it, I repent. I've heard, and I've judged by the hearing, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I repent. Changed his whole spirit. And he prayed for his friends. Amen? We're to pray for those that despitefully use us. We're to love our enemies. Why? Because we see something. We see the glory of God there. Thomas A. Kempis wrote, if you can evaluate things as they really are and not as people report them to be, then you are wise and God is your teacher. So many voices out there. And there were three against one and ultimately four. And that fourth one went back and forth. But when you get three, you get a majority. Well, we all see it differently than you see it. You kind of think, well, boy, I guess I'm missing it. And I guess we ought to consider things, but we ought to keep a right spirit. Amen. Antoine wrote, it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eyes. If you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's so important that our hearts are right with God, or that we love him with all our heart, we seek him with our heart. We don't just seek him to make our circumstances go away or to get the edge over somebody or to prove that we're right and somebody else is wrong. We sincerely want God. God, you show us. You teach us. You help us. And when you seek him with all your heart, he will be found of you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not. For which cause we faint not. But where is that coming from? What's the cause? Because if you don't read for which cause we faint not, then you're not going to understand the rest of the chapter. So let's back up just a little bit. Paul is doing whatever he is doing, that the ministry be not blamed, and that the ministry might be fulfilled. And he's talking about all that he's doing for the sake of that church. And he comes to verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Powerful language there. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Okay, all for the glory of God, all for your benefit, all the suffering, all the trial. There was a purpose in it, amen? Because we just can't go into the world and not have Satan oppose us and not have people that don't know the Lord oppose us. There is a battle going on out there, right? And so we go out and we suffer these afflictions, for which cause we faint not. So one day you will be able to praise God too. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, Paul talks about being fools for Christ's sake. Fools. The world thought they were so foolish. It also says, we have become the filth and the offscouring of the world. That's how Paul's describing what the world thinks of him. Fools for Christ, the filth and the offscouring of the world. But we do this for the ministry's sake. We do this for his sake. We do this for your sake. But a lot of people don't understand that. There's so many more scriptures you could use with that. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who is able to comfort us in all our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort you with the same comfort we're comforted with. So you have to be in tribulation to be comforted. Amen? And you have to experience that comfort so you can show somebody else the comfort of God. It's like salvation. It's a trial. It's a test. In all this, there's a purpose. In all this, there's a way to honor God. Somebody said, I can't remember his name to give him credit for it, but he said, we see things not as they are, we see things as we are. So we don't see what it really is sometimes, we see what we are. We see it through our own glasses, you know. God wants us to see it through his. Mark 11:22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Here is a great, great statement. I think last week and a couple weeks ago I preached on fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, because when fear comes, a lot of times something else will come and it's the wrong reasoning. And we talked about courage and we talked about fear not. And Matthew Henry said, discontent and impatience charge God with folly. Against these, Job carefully watched, and so must we, acknowledging that as God has done right, but we have done wrong, so God has done wisely, but we have done very foolishly. And may the malice and power of Satan render that Satan, that, I'm sorry, and may the malice and power of Satan render that Savior more precious to our souls, who came to destroy the works of the devil, who for our salvation suffered from that enemy far more than Job suffered, or we can think. So, the devil wants to stir that up. The devil wants us to curse God. And he says, if you just do this and take away all these blessings, he'll curse you. But Job didn't do it. Amen? And so we are to learn that lesson, because Our praise for God doesn't come when we get this or get that, or we're not exposed to this or exposed to that. It comes in all the circumstances of life because God has strengthened us and God has given us a testimony. Somebody said, it's taken me all my life to understand that it's not necessary to understand everything. Because if you try and understand everything, you're going to go crazy, you know? And if you say, I understand everything, then you're so superior, God isn't going to be able to teach you anything. Isaiah 55:9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. John 13:7, Jesus is washing their feet, the disciples' feet. It's a simple thing. And they all had an idea, so they're saying different things. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You're not going to get it now. Just say, I don't understand it. There's so much in the Bible. Amen? I got an answer for everything. Nobody has an answer for everything. And so we just say, I believe it because God said it. Why do bad things happen to good people? Let the debate begin, you know? Sometimes you can answer that. Sometimes you can't answer that. You can use Job as an example of suffering. The prophets as an example of suffering. Here's a testimony for the Lord. That's a simple answer. But why do bad things happen to good people? Somebody said, I may not have gone where I intended to go, but I ended up where I needed to be. That's good, isn't it? I mean, and you can say Philip in the desert. Okay, Philip, leave the revival, go to the desert. Okay, he didn't intend to go there. I told God to protect me from my enemies, and I started losing friends. Think about it. Think about it. Sometimes your friends can become enemies, you know. Oh, Lord, defend me from my enemies, and your best friend is gone by the way. Okay, let's not stay there too long. Paul said, all men forsook me and fled, but the Lord stood by me. He was so okay with that. David, he wanted to build a temple for the Lord. He prepared for the temple with all his might. And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 17, let me read a couple verses. Verse 2, Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, God be with thee, or God is with thee. He said, God is with thee, because David wanted to build the temple. So here's the prophet, in touch with God. God's with you. Go build the temple. Next verse. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. Build it. The next day, don't build it. You ever get, wow, boy, this is going to be great. This. Sometimes there's great expectations and sometimes there's your expectations are defeated or changed. Amen? What do we think about God in those? Amen? What's your plan for your family? What your neighbors, your job, your church, your country, the world? Amen? What are we thinking? What are we planning? What are we working towards? And we say, man, boy, I'm so blessed. Look what God's doing in my life. What if he changed all of that in a day? How would we respond to God? Why, God? Why did you do this? Job didn't respond that way. He said, naked came I into the world. Naked I'm going out. Praise God. You know, God's good. I've got an eternity with God. Do you see what I'm saying? Have your circumstances ever changed from good to bad? Have they changed from bad to good? Oh, yeah, that's easy to praise God. Man, we can run around the building and shout. But when it goes this direction, and what does God want? I know what the devil wants in that. And there are people around that would want the same thing. But I know what God wants in it. God wants something holier than that. Three Hebrew children. But if not, in all this, they charge not God foolishly. Job was really trying to protect his reputation. And it was such a powerful, powerful thing. He couldn't get an answer from God. He knew he was falsely accused. And so everything went into that. Everything went into that, his reputation. I looked up the definition there. Your reputation is what someone thinks of you. That's your reputation. Well, what's their reputation? Well, they've got a good reputation. That's what people think of them. Well, boy, he ruined his reputation. That's changing, right? And Paul said, don't think of me more highly than you ought to think. Paul really wasn't interested in a reputation. He was interested in a testimony. And the testimony of Job should have been and was in the beginning, the testimony of Job is, whatever the Lord wants to do, I love the Lord. And it's so hard when that reputation is accosted, when it's challenged, when you're not really what you say you are. Nobody's what they say they are. Amen? Don't say anything, Linda. Amen? Don't tell everybody what I really am. Amen? Nobody's what other people think they are. Amen? We all have a testimony. This is what God did in my life. And since the day I got saved, I've been sinless, man. I mean, I got it all right. Man, I can't tell you. You don't have enough time to listen. But God is good, isn't he? It's the same way for all of us. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You're familiar with these verses. But made himself of no reputation. This is Jesus. When he did something, he said, don't tell anybody what I did. Remember? He did that a number of times. It says, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. What I do, John 13, washing your feet, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He was just a servant. The greatest among you, let him be your minister, not pastor, your minister, those that minister to you. And being found fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I was reading a poem while I was preparing for this, and I just want to quote one line here. This is about Christ on the cross. One burden made of two planks of wood, the cross, 3 days to wait before they understood. When Jesus, the very Son of God, God in the flesh, came into the world, he made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a man. I'm a man, I'm the Son of God, but I'm in the flesh. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible goes on and on. But he said, this is what I'm going to do. Nobody understood it. He told them he must go up to Jerusalem and die and raise again the third day. He told them that. They didn't understand that. Very plain language, amen? The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't understand. Why are you so sad? Haven't you heard? Jesus, they put him to death. He's resurrected, amen? And for 3 days, he was misunderstood. But there was a resurrection. And one day, dear saint, one day, well, the world will understand. There won't be any more misunderstandings. Won't that be wonderful? But people don't understand now. Acts 7:25 about Moses. He thought they would understand, but they understood not. In all this, the world doesn't understand. Sometimes a family doesn't understand. Friends don't understand, but God does. And here we are, whatever your all this is. It's different. Sometimes it changes every day. Amen? I'm glad this dear lady's out of the hospital. This dear lady's out of the hospital. But at that time, see, and circumstances change. And they get good and they get bad. Financially, it gets good and gets bad. You know? You just go on and on and on. Whatever your circumstances are, in all this, put your name. Charge not God foolishly, did not sin, with their lips. That's how we glorify God. This old world needs to see something. Amen? They don't need to see the negative. They need to see the positive. Let's bow our heads, please. God is so good. Don't worry about your reputation, but have a testimony. Have a testimony. God's so good to us. Father, may we understand that we don't have to understand. May we understand that not everybody else is going to understand. And maybe we're the one that doesn't get it. May we always have a right spirit, Lord. May we just defer to you in everything. May we know your word. May it be so precious in us, but may we know the spirit of the word, because we have heard by the hearing of the ear, but sometimes that's not enough, Lord. May we see. May our eyes behold. And may we truly be repentant. May we truly be humble and sorrowful. I pray today, Father, someone is here today and they don't know the Savior, that it's just before him. I pray that you'd open their hearts, that they might see Jesus and their need of accepting Christ. Help us, Lord. I don't know what we're all going to experience this day, this week, this month, but I pray in all that we do, we'd honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.